Psalm 36, verse 1. Transgression speaks to the ungodly within his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. For it flatters him in his own eyes concerning the discovery of his iniquity and the hatred of it. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He plans wickedness upon his bed, and he sets himself on a path that is not good. He does not despise evil. Now you'll recall in Psalm 34, we have the promise that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And we learn that if you want to say there's a key to the Lord's deliverance, the key is the fear of the Lord. And that fear of the Lord primarily is connected with the guarding of what comes out of our mouths. In other words, it involves our speech. And we saw last Wednesday that James, among other things, teaches us that the direction of our feet is a result of what comes out of our mouths. And what comes out of our mouth is what's in the fullness of our heart, right? Yes. And what's in the fullness of our heart is what you're meditating on. So everybody follow that? Okay? You got feet, which is the direction you're going, right? The direction you're going, according to James chapter 3, involves a rudder. That rudder is our tongues. It is such a little member, isn't it? But what comes from our mouths, what comes from our tongue, is what ultimately begins to steer us, to move us in certain directions in our pathway. That tongue speaks from the abundance of our heart. Okay? Just repeating so that we can get this understood. And the abundance of our heart is signified by the things that is in our minds, right? What are we thinking about? Are we renewing our mind, right? Romans chapter 12, verse 1, renewing our minds, what happens? Our heart gets filled with good things. So our speech is edifying and good, right? And that edifying and good rudder now, your speech, begins to direct your steps. Everybody following? Okay. We think, oh, it's just you make a decision about your feet. Okay. No, it starts with what is inside of you. And looking at that and meditating through that led me, as I was just looking through several passages about the fear of the Lord, to Psalm 36. And the interesting thing about Psalm 36, look at verse 1, transgression speaks to the ungodly within his heart. There is no what? There is no fear of God before his eyes, which is exactly, I didn't check if this is the quotation, but that's exactly what Romans says, right? There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their feet run to mischief. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is a description of ungodly, sinful people. Now, what I've done here is look at these first four verses in Psalm 36, and I've written down four statements for our consideration. Number one, note in verse 1 that transgression speaks. Everybody see that? Transgression speaks where? In our hearts. Okay? Now, in the context there, he's talking about the ungodly man. But we all know that even believers still have the operations of that sin nature in our flesh, right? So what we need to see, what I want us to see here is that transgression does communicate to us. And it communicates to us in words, right? That's what speaking is. And of course, the danger here is that if you ever met people that say, well, I'm just following my heart. Okay, well, what does that mean? You can't follow something that doesn't communicate, right? In other words, I could say I'm following this piano. Well, the piano doesn't say anything to me unless somebody what? Plays on it, and then it begins to communicate. An inanimate object doesn't do anything, but an object that is speaking, that does something. And it's speaking there in the heart of a person. This is why Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26 says that a man who trusts in his heart is a fool. And now just think about that just for a second. A man who trusts his heart, who's following his own heart, is a what? It's a fool. He's not a wise man, no matter what he says to you. And how can he follow his own heart? Because transgression is speaking within his heart. And this is one reason why I think one of our men spoke on this, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. How does that start out? Trust in the Lord with all your and do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, okay, acknowledge Him. And what's that word? You know, it's a good translation, but it really doesn't communicate what the Hebrew word there is. It doesn't mean to acknowledge Him like, oh, there's God out there. What's the word that we could translate that I think is much more clear? In all your ways, know Him. Know Him. Where do we know Him? From the Scriptures, right? In all my ways, know Him, and He will direct your paths. In other words, I don't have to know answers to everything, but if I know Him, I'll see the signpost, right? To be able to guide my steps through life. To have that guidance comes by knowing Him. I could pray all day long, Lord, would you just show me, you know, the one that I'm to marry? Well, I don't have a Bible book that says V-E-R-A, right? I don't have a Bible book that says, all right, you're 20 now. Here she comes. Name Vera, social security number. This is one. Right? November 17th. Got it. Right? You don't either, do you? Okay? So how are my feet going to be guided? Well, I got to what? I got to know Him. I got to know Him. And I know Him through the pages of the Word of God. So the first thing I want us to see, which may be news to you, is that transgression communicates within the hearts of people. It speaks. Okay, everybody with me? That's a little scary, right? And this is why the Bible says you got to take captive every thought into the captivity of Christ. Because that sinful nature is communicating. Secondly, transgression speaks to because the ungodly does not set before his eyes the fear of the Lord. It says, transgression speaks to the ungodly within his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. In other words, when he's listening to this communication, now we don't word it that way. We don't say, ha, transgression speaking within my heart. We say this, I'm just thinking about it. Right? I'm just thinking about it. Got some ideas popping in. All right? I'm just thinking about it. All right, but transgression is speaking, and the reason why it's speaking is because I've not set something before my eyes. What is it? The fear of the Lord. In other words, the Lord does not enter into their thinking at all. Okay, and we're talking about ungodly people here, but we got to confess, right, that sometimes we fall into this own snare ourselves. So transgression speaks within the heart of a person because they're not setting before their eyes the fear of the Lord. So they listen, because of that, they listen to what their own heart is saying instead of what the Lord is saying in the Scriptures. Okay, everybody with me? Okay. And folks, this is why lost people fear disobeying their own thoughts rather than the mind of the Lord. The Bible calls that in many cases the fear of man. You know, they don't want to disappoint somebody, they don't want to disappoint themselves, they don't want to have guilt, they're dodging all these issues and they don't want to disobey what's going into their heart, you know, or speaking to them, regardless of what the Bible says. Because they fear disobeying their own thoughts versus the mind of the Lord. Now, believers, we love the mind of the Lord. Thirdly, this is very helpful. The words of transgression, the speaking of transgression, argues its way into our thinking by flattering us. Look at verse 2. For it flatters him in his own eyes. What's another thing about flattery? What's flattery appealing to? Pride. This is critical. Transgression will argue its way by flattering us. In other words, it builds up our pride. And of course, you know, people talk that way, right? People will have a defeat and they'll say, now come on, get yourself up and believe in yourself. And you're like, yes, right? It flatters you. I can do it. I can pull myself up. I had a person tell me that, you know, they didn't need God. They lived their whole life. They pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps. I told the person, I said, you ever thought about that? You ever thought about reaching down to your own shoelaces and pulling them up? What's going to happen? If you could do it, which you can't, what would happen? You fall over. Okay? And I understand what the cliche's meaning. They're a self-made what? Self-made person. But transgression argues its way into a person's mind because it is appealing to their pride. And folks, even our own sinful nature will appeal to our pride as believing people. The building up of his pride in himself blinds him that his way in which he is going is actually ungodly. You remember the scripture, there is a way that seems
right to man.
Everybody, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the ends thereof are
the ways
of death. Now, folks, why would a man choose a pathway in which the end of that pathway is death? Because it seems right to him to do that. Well, who's argued itself into convincing him that it's right? Transgression is speaking in his heart. It's appealing to his own what? His own pride. Sometimes people will say, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. Just because you don't see anything wrong with it doesn't mean it's not what? It's not wrong. And so, verse 2, it flatters him in his own eyes concerning the discovery of his iniquity and the hatred of it. He may feel like that maybe under circumstances that what he's doing could be wrong, but he's actually convinced himself that it's right. This is the right way. I mean, everybody's doing it. This is the natural way to go. This is the way business is operating. This is just the way of the world, Pastor. What is wrong with you? Okay. And I haven't had people worded exactly that way, but I've had people try to convince me. And they're violating plain sections of Scripture, but they have all this argumentation on why they get to break it and it's okay. And folks, sometimes we do that. We justify our own selves breaking certain things because we've listened to this transgression speaking in our heart, and the way that argumentation got in there is because it flattered you. Now think about this. When a person says, "I can handle it." Now think about that statement. Does that sound prideful?
Yeah.
I can marry that lost guy, or I can marry that lost woman. I can change them. Right? It's pride. It's pride. And so here we have that word of transgression arguing in our hearts by flattering us. Fourthly, so look at verse 3. What comes out of his mouth? Wickedness and deceit. And you remember what David said? David said, put away wickedness and deceit. In other words, because this argumentation has now filled his heart, and now he's convinced of it because it has flattered him in his own opinions and his own ways of doing things, now what comes out of his mouth is what has been spoken in his heart. Right? Out of the abundance of the heart, our mouth speaks. And folks, listen, follow this path. Transgression deceived the man. Right? Transgression deceived the man. So therefore now his mouth is declaring the same deceit. Everybody see that? Okay. What is transgression speaking to the ungodly? Well, it flatters him. It argues with him. It reasons with him so that he comes to a determined pathway that is sinful and ungodly, yet he does not recognize it as so. And now having all those reasons, he's ready to communicate those reasons out of his mouth. And folks, the way you can determine this is very easy. When a person is doing something wrong, and you go to them and say, "You know, brother, you know, sister, I don't think this is the right way you ought to go." What happens? All their reasons come out of their what? Come out of their mouth. It's all the reasons why they're right in what they're doing and you're wrong. It's the reasons. They've already meditated on those reasons. They've already been listening to transgression in their hearts. The transgression deceived them, so now their mouth is declaring the same transgression and the same deception to other people. And so, brethren, we need to really be careful about what our minds are meditating on. What are we listening to? Are we really listening to what the Scripture is saying? Or are we imposing our own thoughts upon the Scripture? Or are we just ignoring the Scripture? Right? Because, you know, I'm educated, I'm smart, I've been to school, I've got the degrees, you know, I know my way better than you do. You think about all those statements. It's pride. So the mind of the sinner meditates and converses with transgression. And then, based on that meditation and conversation, he decides to take this premeditated course of action because he believes that the way he is going is good, but it's really what?
Foolish.
It's really not. That is amazing. And as I sat down and looked at that, I thought, you know, I know this is Word of God and it comes out of the mouth of God, but the writer of that psalm had to meditate and think through all this, and the Lord graciously showed him all this. This is a man who knew his heart, right? And may we understand so that we can be a help and edification, and that we can avoid the snare of deception in our own lives.